I'll be your living sanctuary for you.
Singing it to him now.
Oh, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, your and holy. Tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. So, Lord, make me a sanctuary. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Proverbs, the 16th chapter. We'll begin reading about verse 22 through 25. 16th chapter. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Just remember now that, Lord willing, Brother Harris will be preaching for us Wednesday. And remember, too, that there will be a baptismal service down at Terrence's right after the service this afternoon, so don't hang around and everything. We'll just run on down, and we've got two to be baptized, so we appreciate that. And we thank the Lord for those things. Also, remember now, I didn't tell you this morning, I told you you're supposed to fill out those things telling the addresses, and they're supposed to be give out and given to you, and you're supposed to fill out your address, telephone number, et cetera, et cetera. And you're supposed to give them back to Wade. I forgot to give them back to Wade, but they're to Mama. So just make sure they're trying to get it all together where we can get the list correct and get all your addresses right and your telephone numbers and things and get it all together. So we appreciate that. And you've heard the announcements, so remember them. There is a thing going down the stairs announcing all of the future things that are happening. I'm sorry that Brother Forney would not be able to be with us, won't be this Wednesday. But the Lord will be with us. Brother Harris will be preaching for us because he had a funeral that someone had passed away, and they were going to want him to come to do it on Wednesday. So, you know, we just thank the Lord for someone that can stand in and preach and all, because I'm not one that likes to do all the preaching. I believe faith comes by hearing. It don't come by preaching. I mean, somebody's got to preach, but faith cometh by hearing. So, and I believe that, and I appreciate it. Amen. I've really enjoyed the brothers that have been here with us and all, and done the last few services and all that. We just really appreciate it. Proverbs 16. Father, we thank you that your loving grace is so great unto us in the hour that we're living, that you have opened your word unto us, that you've come among us in the form of the word to be brought down in the last days, because that is your final coming to the Gentile dispensation. That we're not looking for another thing, only for the going away, because you are here with us through the opening of thy word. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to just read your word, because it's a wonderful thing. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, Father, and we pray that you would just bless us today as we speak about you, and most of all, open our eyes to hear what the Spirit is trying to say, and not words of human lips, because on that we can argue and fuss about what is said. But when the Spirit speaks unto us, then we have no argument. Father, just guide us now. Bless those that are sick. Remember Brother Tatum, Brother Don. Lord, remember them. Sister Watson there in the hospital. And Father, we pray that you would just bless each one. Remember Sister Thomas and her eyes, Father. And just remember each one. Remember Brother Ray's daddy. And Lord, just touch him and let everything be well. We believe it, and we thank you. And guide us now. As we read your word, you come and you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 16. We'll start reading about verse 22. We could read the whole thing, but let's start at 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instructions of the fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now there is a way that seemeth right. And I read all of the good things about, you know, talking about the heart and the pleasantness and the things and all like that. But we're going to be speaking about emotional Christians. Emotional Christians. So we've been talking about faith. We spoke about faith and about, you know, what is faith. And you start by mental faith. And when your mental faith becomes a spiritual reality, then you have spiritual faith. But until then, you cannot walk upon it. It will not support you. And it always has to be propped up. Right. And what I want you to think about this afternoon now is more on into the religious realm of, you know, what we call Christianity. And that's why I said we'll talk about emotional Christians. Because, you know, if we think about emotional faith, as we talked about this morning, that works in your five senses. Emotional faith works in your five senses upon reasoning, memory, conscience, affections, etc. And emotional faith, or as you would call it, mental faith, it has to have something to depend upon. You know, it has to have something to relate to. I spoke in tongues. I shouted. I cried. I done this. I done that. It has to be based upon something. But spiritual faith, as we talked about Abraham, he had nothing to base it upon when God called him and told him to leave his family and go and all. There was nothing in the background to be able to say, you know, well, he had this or he had that. See? So a Christian is expected to believe God, as the Scripture said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not based then, Christianity is not based upon some past experience, even though we use that. The past is a wonderful thing to a Christian. I mean, it's a great thing to remember what God has done for you. That's wonderful. All right? But still, each day in God is a new experience. Each moment a Christian lives, there's new opportunities for development, for things, you know, that will take care of us. And you know, we can say, well, God healed us of, you know, cancer. God healed us of this or that or the other. And turn around and die with a common cold, you know, that would be a simple thing because we want to base it upon, well, God healed me before, so I'm healed now. See, that's why they said about Brother Branham, said he's a divine healer. He said there's no such thing as a divine healer. He said God is the healer. But see, they were referring to him as thinking that he was said, you know, you're a divine healer. That means you'd never get sick no more. Well, he said, that's wrong. He said, you can be healed of cancer and then turn right around and die of that same of a cancer that comes back. See, it's not based upon something that we keep depending upon the past. You know, keep talking about the past. Because we can become like the denominational systems and be like the three unclean spirits like frogs. It keeps looking back, looking back, looking back. Yes, we believe in the days of John Wesley. We believe in the days of Martin Luther. We believe in this. We believe in amen. We believe in that. We believe. Now, come on down with me. See, you'd say, yes, that's right. Come on down to where's that? We believe in the days of William Branham. But the days of William Branham is a past experience. Many of you sitting here were there when you saw the signs and wonders that took place. But that won't heal you today. Like Brother Harris was referring to it, and some of you know what happened years ago at a certain church, and this brother brought a pitcher, Brother Branham, out to cast this demon out of this lady, and he held that pitcher down, you know. That's God's prophet. You come out of there. The Spirit spoke back through the woman in a man's voice and said, I got him, I'll get you, or something like that. You know. Scared the daylights out of all the people, you know, because that they, you know, they were trying to argue with the demon. But to show it a picture of William Branham, why not pray in Brother Brown's name if that's what you're going to do? You know, I mean, if you're going to think a picture could cast it out or reminding the devil about Brother Branham, why don't you just pray in his name? No, 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 we don't believe in that now. We're not that far. Well, how far are we? Are we like we were talking about this morning? Are we those that would say, we adjure thee in the name of the God that William Branham preaches? Is that the style that we use? Do we think the devil will honor that? No, the devil will only back up from a born-again experience in Jesus Christ. Then we've got everything. We can depend upon the past. We believe in the past, but we live in the present tense. We live right here where we're at now. Right? See, and that's why we need to have something to be able to anchor in more than just anchoring in the five senses. And the prophet even said your five senses is wonderful if they agree with the word. That's fine. See, because we reason. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. See, we have memory and all that. That's wonderful. And as I said this morning over and over, I'm a very emotional person that, you know, has my own time. But I don't put it outwardly as much as a lot of people do. And I'm not making light of you, but I'm not saying that, you know, that I'm just myself. And that's the way I am, because it's based upon that I don't want a church built upon an emotional situation. If we have good fast singing, if we have good fast preaching, And I'm not throwing off on you. I watch you when, or hear you when other preachers are preaching, and they're in that emotional realm with you, and they're going with you, and you're amening, and then I come and you, boom. You think, boy, maybe I need to get that other brother to come back and preach again, because at least they did move a little bit or do something that, you know, sometimes you wonder if you ought to get the ice water out and start seeing if people are alive, you know, and do some Franklin or something. But see, emotional faith has to have something to depend upon. Emotional Christians have to have something emotional. They go to a service to where somebody's preaching the word and is really laying it down and you're just engulfed into the word. But those emotional Christians sat there and said, nothing going on, I don't feel a thing. Didn't shout. Brother didn't even say amen. You know. And you know that's true. Am I wrong or am I right? See? You know it's true. Right here with all of us, I know it's true. See, that somebody comes in and preaches an emotional style, and you get up with them and go with them. All right? But then somebody just come in and slowly talking about the Word of God, and you just get humdrum and go to sleep. There's less sleeping done when somebody's an emotional thing. And I agree with it. I love it. I love the presence of the Lord in emotional feelings. You let me be what I am, all right? But see, I'm trying to teach a group of people to be anchored in one thing. You can't walk on the five senses. Now come on, listen. The five senses are constantly changing. Right? Now, you know what I mean, five senses, because we'd have to go back into the five senses of the body. But how many of you wants to get an A model and ride home? Well, it'd be nice to own one because we could sell the thing. But how many would you like to go back to where you didn't have no heat in your home, but an old fireplace? Now, do you see what I'm saying? Emotional things. Now, you may not think like that, but that's the way I think. See, emotional things are constantly progressing, but yet never coming out to the ultimate end. See? Your memory, reason, conscience. See, you'd have to have memory to be able to make another car or make a this, and you'd have to deal in those realms. That's what makes man dealing through that. And the prophet said, being a human being and a child of God by creation and having a soul, said, makes us little creators. But the things that we're creating is already here. We're just putting them together, and we're using our memory, our reason, our conscience, our affections, etc., and we're moving in that realm, and that's all you're dealing in. But Christianity doesn't deal in that realm. The prophet, I gave it to you where he said we would see Jesus, 1962, there, the first one on your notes. He said, faith works in the sixth sense. Faith doesn't work in the five senses. Now, I always say things like this because I don't want people to go off the wrong way. You know, they say, well, an animal's got some kind of a sixth sense. That's not a sixth sense faith. All right? I know Sister Trudy don't like for me to talk about it. Her dog doesn't have a soul, but... All right? But see, sure, they have something, but what is it? It's because that they're not motivated in the senses like we are, and they must depend upon some other something to exist upon. So it does look like an animal sometimes will have a sixth sense. Us deer hunters know you can be totally camouflaged. You can be totally hid, the wind in the right direction, and turn around. A deer just turn, look right straight at you. They're like, hi, how you doing? You think, well, they got a sixth sense of some kind. No, it's not a sixth sense of faith. It is just that they've yielded themselves to that realm so long until they're activated in that type of a realm of life. All right? See? But see, we as Christians, what if we always walked in the sixth sense? Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? Revelation is not in the five senses. Now, it works through your senses. Come on. You've got to have memory, reason, conscience, and affection to get a revelation from God. He doesn't open up your head and pour it in. My Bible says faith cometh by hearing. See? You've got to hear it somewhere. Well, I never read the Bible, and God revealed to me. So you saw it through something that Grandma told you. You know. All right? See, but the senses, see, we get into those five senses, and we work in that realm of the senses until we think that we're Christians. Well, I love the Lord. I remember a time when I didn't love the Lord, but I love the Lord. The prophet said, you love with your spirit. That's what he said. And he said, you can love God and still be lost. Well, see, then that evidently is not what it is. See, I want something that can't be argued about to put my bases upon. I want something that I can anchor in that to where I can walk on that. Now, it's always in the Bible, and I'm not trying to prop it up. I'm just telling the truth. In the Bible, Brother Brown said it's generally done one time. It's not done anymore. I mean, God asked Abraham to go offer his child. It's never in the Bible that anybody else was asked to go offer a child, right? He said it's done one time, and that's the way it's done. But see, we want to put something upon that and look back at that and then try to bring that down into our experience. Well, why would we want that? Do we want God to tell us to go offer one of our kids? No. We want something personal. Abraham was told to leave, or Abram, you know, is correctly, told to leave his country. Well, I guess we need to leave our country to be... No, see, it was enough one time for you and I. Let's find our own experience in the Word. Because the five senses, the prophet said there, the sixth sense, he said, is a substance. That's what he said. You go read it. I just told you the page number. Said it's a substance. It's just not what you believe. We haven't got on to the other part, you know, faith being a substance, because I'm trying to move up little at a time, you know, to where we can see something and try to walk in that realm. And as I said, now the prophet said mental faith is fine, but we need to ask God to reveal that unto us, to make it a substance. Go into the sixth sense. then once it goes into that sixth sense, you can't talk anybody out of it. I was telling them today about a certain incident that happened one time, and a brother, he went off, and we were discussing a certain doctrine, and he came back, and he couldn't say anything about the doctrinal thing, so this is the way he approached it. He says, brothers, I want to ask you one question. He said, is there anything that I could read you that would make you change your mind about your doctrine? Well, naturally, we said no. Because it was over the doctrine of the... He was saying we didn't have the new birth. And we were saying we did have it. You know, not because what Brother Branham said, although we could prove a lot by what he said about it, but because we had the own experience within ourselves. Well, naturally, I wouldn't say, yeah, you can read me something, I'll probably deny what I got. He said, well, ain't no need me reading it. Now, he never said, I've got it here. See? We should have forced his issue with him and said, produce it. But we tried to be nice. We just got up and walked out. Because why? See? There was no more to be said because he didn't say he had a quote. He just asked if he read us something. See? You deal in that emotional situation long enough, you can come up to an answer for everything that you need. Because the devil will help you. You know. All right, but now let's get on the rest of it. See, mental faith is fine, but we need to ask God for a spiritual revelation or a substance. And that's where I gave you 23 blasphemous names, number 2 when you quote. He said, the Holy Ghost coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Coming down into your mental faith, making your mental faith a spiritual revelation. Making it a substance. See, because you've got the great understanding, you've got the quotes, you've got the Bible, you've got the things in your memory, reason, conscience, because that's where it dwells at, right? Brain, as we'd call it. Head, brain, or whatever you want to call it. Not saying your brain is your senses, but it works through your brain. Because it's the spirit realm. And see, we have all the quotes. We have all of the great understanding. We can explain it to the detail. I've been up here preaching a many time on something that I thought I'd seen for many years, and the Lord opened it to me. You know, opened it up, and I said, oh, Lord. You know, because it went from an emotional situation, or a thought, or a lineup of quotes, to a spiritual reality into the sixth sense, and then now, there's no way you can take out of me what's in my sixth sense. Now, I can do, any human, you can do it. Say Aaron would only have something in his spiritual realm. I can do a good job of either destroying that until he'll stop believing it, or I can massively confuse him in it. Right? Because that's in the senses. But once it's revealed, see? Once it's revealed to him, you can't take that out of him. Because it's a substance. Now, this is way down the road. Okay. About 6 months from now, I'll get down to where you take one step at a time. That's why God don't reveal it all at one time. He's building a substance within us. Okay? As far as I'm going. But you do know I'm going somewhere. All right. But said, the Holy Ghost coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual revelation. In other words, taking it from emotional or, you know, mental, the five senses, taking it to the sixth sense, which is a substance. Now, see, that's why I know I get into trouble trying to explain something, but see, when I see one God, I don't see a mental conception. That's what people think it is. God is not a mental conception. God is a substance. I see a person. When I'm talking about one God, I'm talking about a person. I'm not talking about some glob that's sitting up in heaven that looks like a something in the, you know, maybe this, that, or the other about it. No, he's a person. I see a substance. I'm just trying to walk toward that. Okay. But now listen. But if we hold on now to the five senses and pray and won't take anything in against that, you know, because as quick as you get something, Satan's going to try to make you reason anyway.
Right, right.
When you begin to start seeing something, Satan's coming to you to start making you reason, right?
Right.
But just don't listen to it. Just don't argue with him. Just don't listen to it. There's a man up at the, and I'm not making no light, but there's a man up at the nursing home with Brother Tatum, and I've never seen nobody do this. You've always heard people say, them people talking to their own self. You ever talk to yourself, Brother Aaron? But this man, it's sweet to look at him. I'm not making no light, see, because he's talking both sides of the conversation. I listened to him. I thought, that man's really talking to himself. He said, I'm going down here to town, and I'm going to get me something. You think that's a good idea? Yeah, I think you ought to go to town and get that. He's on both sides of the deal. Well, he might be better off than we are. You know? I'm not making light of it, because it really, I look at it and I just want to hug him, you know. I mean, it's just constantly, he's just talking the whole time. Everywhere he is, you see him at the door, you see me, he's just talking away. And he's talking both sides. I said, well, okay, he's probably better off than I am. They probably think he's crazy. But now listen, we talked about this morning that God is obligated to his word. All right? Now, he's obligated to your faith if you believe it. And that's why a lot of people we talk about, the prophet said, they don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because one thing, they may not believe far enough. That'll stop you. Someone comes along, talks you out of it. That'll stop you. Or it may be that you can just not move into that realm. And that's why I read that last part where the prophet said, you know, help me to calm down. Maybe you get into an emotional situation or something like that, and you're in a church. Now, here's what Brother Brandon said, and I'll be glad to find it. He said, in other words, paraphrasing it, he said, if you're born again under an emotional situation, you'll be the emotional. But if you're born again under more of a dry situation, you'll be more of a dry situation. Well, maybe that's where I'm at, because I was born again under Brother Moak's ministry. And he was an emotional person, very emotional, but yet he was still stable and straight. You know, I mean, he just, you know, maybe that's ruling me. I don't know, because that's what your prophet said would happen. And I see a lot of you come through Pentecostals, you see Pentecostal people, they're more emotional people. I'm not throwing off on it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, because that's the part you're under. All right? But some are born again under a more, less of that emotional atmosphere, and they're less emotional. I even condemn myself a lot of times for not being emotional. You know, I'm the preacher that's supposed to be trying to get you, you know, to the right place. And what I seem like I do is just beat you to death. And you go home feeling, well, I don't know what in the world he's talking about. You know, you got me beat down. But just remember what I said this morning. I can't talk you out of what God revealed to you. So I ain't worried about it. All right. Do you see where the denominational systems are wrong? Now think on this thought. We're talking about Christian, emotional Christians. Do you see where their denominational systems are wrong? Every one of them has got some form of salvation. Will you agree? One of them says shout, one says cry, one says speak in tongues, one says this, one says that, one says write your name on the book, one says, you know, they've everyone got some form of a situation until when we even say, you know, they'll say, how many people do you have in your church? I say, well, we've got 80 or 90, I guess. Because we don't have a membership. You don't have a membership. But no, we have a gathering. We don't have a membership. We have a gathering of saints. Well, let's look at you, because they're dumbfounded. You don't have a membership. Why? Because that's what it's taught. A million more than 44, you know. We got to be of God. Look what we get. We got so many million That's what a man said to me one time. He said, "You mean all, how many Catholics are there?" I said, "Probably about, at that time, I said about 500,000 or maybe 5 million or something. I don't remember. I told him a number. Anyhow, and he said, "You mean they're all wrong and you're right?" I said, "Well, I didn't really say it that way, but being she put it." I mean, you were the one that said it, not me. You know? I said, "If you're off the word, they're wrong." But you see why the denominational system, what's wrong with it? See, they hold you to a mental conception of something. They hold you to some form of rules or regulations or doctrines or things. And then you come right on into the message and you see the same identical spirit. That the people are trying to hold the people, the preachers are, to some form of a doctrinal issue. You know, whether it be two souls, seven thunders, prelude, you know, I mean, they got all kinds. All right. But they try to hold you to that and teach you that if you get away from what they're bringing, you've missed it. See? All right. But see, the prophet never taught anything like that. He taught if we get off the word. Well, now, I believe, Brother Dale, I got the word. So does every Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, and Branhamites. I don't believe there'd be a church anywhere in the world today, whether it be in the message or out of the message or whatever, they'll get up and say, "Folks, we're off the word." No, they believe they're on the word. But is God that massively confused? Could all of these doctrines and things be from God? See, then you'd understand why I keep quoting Paul. He said, "You'll be judged by my gospel. A man knows where he's standing." He said, "Even an angel from heaven comes. Even if I come back," Brother Random paraphrase, "if I come back myself and bring you something different, then let it be a curse." Now, he didn't mind saying things like that. Huh? But now watch. See, then God is not obligated to mine in your thinking. What we think it is, it has nothing to do with it. God is not obligated to our thinking. God is obligated to what he said. "Well, I think he meant this." I think, no. God's not obligated to what me and you think. God is obligated only to his word. Huh? See, that's why that we can't walk on the word. "Oh, Brother Dale, that's all I do is walk on the word." Well, where'd you get all the doctrines at? You know, immediately, one of these days, I'll get down to the fact of faith as a substance and just ask to show that then the fact is that you, a substance is a faith, a revelation. You can walk on what's revealed to you. See, God is not obligated to us as long as we don't take what he says. "But Brother Dale, I got my whole life on it." There's quotes in there. I'll paraphrase them and then we'll, you know, you can read them. "Yes, but I'm sincere. I love the Lord. I do everything that God says. I shout, I scream, I cry, I do it." And he said, "That ain't got nothing to do with it." But yet he's the man that teaches us that we need to do those things. See? But now listen. One word added or one word left off. And God is not obligated. So what do you have in the religious realm then? Irregardless of where it exists at, what is it that is in the religious realm? Emotional or mental faith. So, yeah, but I heard a man the other day on the radio preaching one God right down the line. Yeah, go to him and say, "Hey, boy, that's a wonderful message on that one God. You laid it down there. It's just one God, ain't it? Right, amen. Okay, let's go get baptized." "But I didn't mean that." Now, you know right where he's at. He has no substance. And it's based upon what somebody told him that had no substance. Now, Luther never taught the message of justification the way the Lutheran church teaches it today. John Smith never taught the doctrine of the Baptist church that exists today. All right? So somebody has even added to what their church brought. Because the prophet said it's no longer pure. See, one word added to Brother Brown's message, and God is not obligated to any of it. One thought, one idea. Well, Brother Dale, how's any of us going to make it? It's only going to be in God. If any of us makes it at all, it'll be in God. But now listen. I keep stating this over because I want you to remember it. Mental faith is based upon what has been. But spiritual faith is based upon what God says. And that way you can start with Abraham, who had nothing as a background, and yet he believes God. You don't have anything of Abraham saying, now wait a minute, let me check this thing out. What's he going to check it with? Sure, there was a lot of preachers in those days, because Brother Brown said there's a lot of preachers in Noah's day. The world was full of them. But in Noah's day, what was just one little thing in Noah's day, just to show you what I'm talking about. What was it? It can't rain. Ain't going to rain. And that up on the hill up there, he talking about it going to rain. It ain't going to rain. We can prove. Science has proved to us it ain't going to rain. We had a man come in and even show us a video here. You know, that it can't rain. You know that was all that kept them out of the ark? I mean, enough to keep them out of the ark. Maybe not all, but that was enough to keep them out. We talk about Eve misconstruing one word to put the whole human race into a sinful condition. But yet we expect to go back, well now, Brother Dale, that brother has a right to believe what he wants to. What you're really saying is, I believe what he believes better than I believe what you believe. Or why would you be saying it? Right? You see, that's where it gets me in trouble, because they expose it. You and me. But hey, I want it out now. Sure, I listen to these doctrines when they come out. I am not like most people of you even to say, I ain't paying attention. I know that's wrong. I've listened to 10 or 11 tapes on one certain brother. Never did know what he's talking about, but I listened to him. But I wanted to know what he's talking about. Then I can tell you, I don't agree with it. You say, I don't agree with that brother. Well, how come? Well, I just don't agree with it. Now, there's something wrong. All right, but see, just get on. Let's go on now. Most people live in a mental state with their five senses, and I'm talking about in the Christian realm now. Now, we've moved up the message. We're in the Christian realm of mental Christians or emotional Christians, having to have something to rely upon. Instead of being able to say like Noah, what could Noah say? How could he say against an entire world that could prove there was no rain in the sky, but yet he says it's going to rain? But now in Noah's heart, the water was falling. Do you understand? In Noah's heart, the water was falling 120 years before a drop fell out of the sky. Because God told him. Abraham, I've got the child. What's your name? Hi, Father. How many kids you got? Don't have one. The only thing I can come up with now is Ishmael. Then God changed his name, made him father of nations, and still ain't got but one child, and that's an Ishmaelite. Do you understand? God expects you to believe. If you can't believe, what can he do? That's why through the system of the world, through education, now I'm not against education because I believe in it, but through the form of education using it, and when I say education, I mean this. I mean education all the way down to the pulpit. That's the part I'm talking about, huh? Because, see, the pulpits were where your education come from. They used to tell us in school that George Washington couldn't tell a lie. Well, I knew better than that then. You know. All right? But you see, all schooling is based upon Christianity of some form. Form, I said now. You know, somebody taught that from some religious belief or whatever. What if it ain't true? All right. But move on now. Most of us live in a mental state. Very rarely do we receive a spiritual revelation. Will you agree? I mean, count all the day of the hour that you live in 24-hour days. How many times does God speak to you out of 24 hours? But how many times through that 24 hours are you dealing with the devil in his realm? Very rare occasion the Lord gets to speak to me. Brother Dale, the Lord speaks to me every morning. Now, I speak to him every morning, but he don't always speak to me every morning. I may pray and I may ask him to help, but he doesn't always do that. I was on ending up those series back there, and that's reading I preached on respect, because I didn't know where in the world I was going to preach next. And I kept preaching on respect. You know? Hey, you know, I'm honest. I'll tell you what I do. These other preachers say, oh, I'm in the Lord leading me. No, I preached on respect until I got the message of faith. See, most preachers never admit that. You mean you preached all them sermons? We enjoyed them. Well, that's right. I enjoyed it too. But I was preaching, trying to find something for God to speak to me about what to say to you. Because I sure don't want to deal in no senses. I can do that. I can look out there and just preach enough. Okay? And then when I get through out there, I turn back this way and look at the guy I shave, and I got enough to preach on, but I don't preach like that. I preach by what God gives me. He said, well, you just said you preached on faith. Sure, he gave me a lot of messages on respect. He gave me them because he knew that I'd need it. But now listen. See, people living in an emotional realm think that God is dealing with them. Because they think that's the way he deals. Now, God can use emotional things to make your contact with you. But I'm going to make a bold statement, and let's see if it's true. God does not deal in the realm of your mental capacity. He's trying to speak to your soul, which is where your sixth sense comes in. You know. He's trying to speak to the inner part of you, not your outside. Because on the outside, you'd argue with him. You know, Abraham would have said, now, Lord, you're right sure you want me to go down there? I'd rather go somewhere else. You know, like Jonah. You know, hey, let me go somewhere else. No. But now listen. Listen to what your prophet said about something on the scripture that I read to try to see the point that I'm trying to get at. Look at number 3 on your notes, which is Revelation Book of Symbols, 1956, 06:17. He's praying and he said, Father, this little bitty flock here this morning, but there's real men and women sitting here that's your children that believes you and loves you. I pray, God, for them. Maybe some of them have never accepted you yet, never really had the experience of all the old carnal things of the world dying out. They just lived on a church confession. They told people and told others. Maybe they've been baptized or something in Christian article, but never really have ever been saved. They don't really know what it is. Maybe they've just been mentally emotional, intellectually professed Christians, thinking that they're right by a sentiment, were, but now watch, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, seems like it's right, and you got it, but the end thereof is ways of death. Now go out there today and ask the religious realm what it's based on. And every church, as I said a while ago, will tell you this, that, this, this, you got to do, you got to, they got something. But Christianity is not based upon that. You're not a Christian because you shout, speak in tongues, cry, scream, see visions, whatever. That don't make you a Christian. You're not a Christian in five senses. You're a Christian when you're born again. And he said, now a lot of these is, you know, some church article that they've been into, you know, or some mentally emotional situation. But he said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. That seems right. Now listen. Listen seriously with me. It seems right that we ought to deal in an emotional realm. It seems right that we ought to shout, speak in tongues, believe the Lord, walk in it. That seems right. What's he saying? Is he saying it's wrong to do those things? No. Because he said he done them. We'll read some more. But why would he use the scripture? It seemeth there's a way that seemeth right. Like Sister Gail says a lot of times, she used to be real bad at saying it. I saw more love out there than I see in here, and it's still true. But I think now she's beginning to realize what it's all about, maybe. But it's true. You go among the denominational people, you walk right across the street, I mean across the parking lot, right over to that next door church there, and they're telling you how wonderful and sweet you are and how great everything's going. And they're going to take you here, and they're going to do that, and they're going to teach you, and they're going to do this, and they're going to get you to sing, you know, Blessed Trinity. And it seemeth right. Can't you see why Brother Branham would say to his wife like he did one day, he said, honey, have I studied so much? He said, why can't I be like the rest? Have I just studied so much, paraphrasing what he said, you know, have I just made myself into a realm? Your prophet said that. Because there's a way that seemeth right. Don't you want us happy? Don't you want us healed? Don't you want us to be good? No, I want you saved. Like I told you before, when that prophet one day I was listening to him, he said, I'd rather have love in a church than see 5,000 souls saved. And boy, I'd rather see love in a church than 5,000 saved. See, my mind was on our perverted love, probably. But he said, because if you got love in the church, he said, you'll have 10,000 saved. And I said, thank you, Lord, for straightening out this old dummy. But see, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. Why are you so much against everybody, Brother Dale? Don't they have a right to believe what they want to believe? According to the Constitution, yes. But not according to the Bible. You mean everybody? Now here we're going to get to it, okay? We'll put up the big quote, you know. You mean everybody got to believe what you believe? If I believe the truth, they have. Blunt. Period. If I believe the truth. Everybody's got to believe the same way. Because there's only one God. There's only one faith. Yeah, but that's the way they see it. Don't deal with me like that. Too old. You don't have a right to see something. You can't take the Bible. We're going to get on to it when we get over a little further. The Bible says one thing. And that's it. Brother Branham sure wouldn't wishy-washy. He was lenient. He was nice. He would even say to the women preachers, now I'm not going to tell you that God didn't call you to preach. I'm just tell you it's not in the Bible. He didn't beat around. But see, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But Brother Dale, all I've ever known all of my life is an emotional feelings of God. I don't know Him no other way. Well, don't forget that. Just start praying a little more in the realm of the opening of the Word. Well, that's all y'all aren't little. Word. That's all I hear. Word. I'm honestly sorry. I don't know of anything else. I mean, if you'll show me something else, I'll try to preach it. But that's all I know. You know. And at least God's backed this up, so I don't worry about it. You know. Because He's kept opening the Word. Now, if He stops opening the Word, that's where we know. We'll get to those things a little later on. If the Word stops unfolding to you, there's something wrong with you. You only got a mental concept. Because it never stops. He's been revealing it to me ever since I started coming into the message, and He revealed things to me when I was in the denominations. And it's still unfolding. Look at the next one. Just take we'll just quote it off of it. Why am a holy roller, 1953, 830. And is it possible that a man could be wrong and yet sincere? Yes, sir. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And that's what he said. A man could be sincere, and yet wrong. There's a way that seemeth right. Look at the next one. Dr. Moses, page 55, 114. They believed, and very much of believers in what they did believe, but they didn't have it, the truth. The Scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It may seem every bit right, but the end are the ways of death. Now, listen, church. Brother Branham was always against organized religion, right? From the beginning, I mean, you know. Now, he wasn't against people. He wasn't against any people at all. He was against the organized religion system, right? Now, it had him confused. Now, I'm quoting him, so you do what you want to. And he was fixing to preach on the first seal, the White Horse Rider, as the Holy Ghost. He said, well, how do you know? Because he'd already preached it before then. And he said, I would have been massively confused in the great era. Because the Bible says that it deceives everybody, the system thing does. So it's got to be more than just looking at a Baptist church or a Methodist church or looking at this, that, or the other. The prophet come over into the seal. He said, now I see why. That all of these years I've been against denominationalism. Now the seals broke to the prophet to reveal to him what the real denominational system is. It's not a church. It's people who are saying that they are of God when their message is of the devil. And all it takes is one word off for it to be of the devil. See? There's a way that seemeth right. I mean, who would give the great honor or who would make any light of disrespect to a man like Billy Graham that has seen more people, you know, come to a salvational form of maybe just justification but still the greatest of all preachers has ever been upon this of justification realm. And bringing people to an altar and things. No marks of anything's ever been against him in his life or anything. But who would make light of that man? I would not, and Brother Branham would not. But yet, he couldn't agree with him. Why? Because it wasn't according to the truth. They were believers in what they believed. The greatest of all believers was the Pharisees and Sadducees when the Lord Jesus came. And the greatest religious people, where could you put one mark upon the lives of those people? Because you could have them stoned to death. But yet they turned down the Lord Jesus when he came among them. Not doing one thing but preaching the word. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. Look on down at the next one. Mark of the Beast, 1955, 0312. Now you say, could it be possible that a person could belong to a church, then Brother Branham, going to church, and being very sincere with all of their sincerity and still be lost? Absolutely. That's right. The most sincere people I ever seen were pagans and heathens. Just as sincere, giving their babies for sacrifice, torturing themselves and everything. All the sincerity that you could think of. The Mohammedans sincere. Buddhists sincere. The Jains sincere. So sincere they wouldn't touch a little ant. Or nothing at all. Very sincere. Far beyond anything that Christianity has ever produced that I can see, especially in this day. That's your prophet talk. Sincerity doesn't mean it. The scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Seems like it have to be all right. But God has a way. And you've got to come, not the way that seems right, but the way that God says is right. Amen. That's the way of the cross. Go to those people that not one mark in any way in the world and tell them they need to be born again. I believe it's birth pains. The prophet said it was the hardest thing in the world for Jesus to get those Pharisees to realize they were sinners where he could die for them. See, they were emotional Christians. And now watch what I'm saying now about it. You don't have to be emotional to be an emotional Christian. What I mean by emotional is not always the work of emotional. It means that you take anything that's coming from your senses. Because that's the emotional side of your senses. You know, the five senses. You take anything that's in those senses that's contrary to God's word. You can be totally dried as I am. You know. But you're still an emotional Christian. If you're not born again today, I don't care what line you lay on, if you're not born again, you have to be an emotional, mental Christian. It's only the two. It doesn't matter what realm you fit in. It's only the two. You're either born again or you're not born again. And the prophet said on what I gave you this morning, if you're not born again, it's not God's fault. God's obligated to give you the new birth. But you see, everybody wants the new birth on some rim. I was there when Aaron got it, and I saw him shout. Now, Lord, let me shout like he shouted. I know I got it. See, now you put a condition, and God won't exist upon conditions. He will not move to your condition. We must move to what he has to say. All right? I will restore, preached 1955, 6:26 in the evening. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Number 7 on your notes. So just worship and confession doesn't make you a Christian. No. If it was, God would have never condemned Cain. Go on, read the rest of it. Intervale, 1956, 1:21. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. It might seem all right intellectually. Your soul will always testify to the Word of God if it's born again. If you got an intellectual faith, oh, you'll agree. Sure. Say, that's Bible's right. You'll say, that Bible's right. You'll say these things. And watch. Being a mental, now you're talking about intellectual faith, will say the Bible's right. Come on. The devil says the same thing. The devil says there's a God in heaven. There's a Jesus Christ. Certainly, they believe the same thing. Oh, you say the devil believe in Jesus Christ? Certainly. They publicly confessed Him when He said, Thou art the Son of God, Thou art the Christ, the Holy One. Go and read a little. Book of Corinthians. Corinthians, Book of Corrections, 1957, 414. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. You say, well, why is it I've repented? Why is it I'm not all right? I've repented. Why is it I'm not all right? I've repented. I think I'm just as good as anybody else. I go to church. I've been baptized. I get the blessings of God. I love a good sermon. I love the Word of God. I love to read it. And I get spiritual blessings too. Hallelujah. I can prophesy. I can speak with tongues. I've done all these things. You mean to say it's in vain? It's in vain? I'm not saying it's in vain, but it's possible that it could be in vain. What? That's right. It depends on what you are in there. It could be. All right. Let's get to the last one, then we'll... Christ revealed His own word, 1965, 8:22 in the morning. Well, I spoke in tongues, Brother Branham. Well, don't you believe in speaking in tongues, Brother Branham? Absolutely. Well, I shouted. Don't you believe in that? Yes, sir. I live a good Christian life. Don't you believe in that? Yes, sir. But still, that don't mean you're saved. You're a good person, clean, moral, holy, good person. So was those priests. Religious to the core. So religious until one misconstrued, they'd be stoned to death. The death penalty of fooling with the Word of God was death. You say, yeah, but I'm sincere. What else do you expect, Brother Dale? I love the Lord. I love the message, we'd say. I love to hear the sermons. I rejoice. But do you rejoice when you're away? Can you only rejoice when you're in the building when everybody else is rejoicing? Or as the prophet said, what about when the music is going? When the music stops, do you stop? We used to have an old Sister Wiley, an old Baptist, come into Pentecost. She'd come to church here, and the kids always liked to watch her, not making light of her. They'd watch her because she had long hair. I mean, holy woman, you know. But she'd start shouting, and you could just stop everything. Everybody could have went home. She kept on shouting. She got through. You know, at least she didn't stop with the music, but she'd start slinging her head, and them hairpins just start going all over this building. You know, she was just slinging the hairpins. You know, but she didn't stop when the music stopped. We was over in Jamaica, and they was up there, and I'd got through preaching, and they was shouting like everything, and Wade and Brother Harris and them was outside out there, and them women would go down through there, and they were shouting, glory, hallelujah, holy, you know, just shouting, just right down, walk outside the door, and just, hey, Sudie, let's go to town tomorrow. Yeah, you know. Just like that. Cut it off. See, it's easy to shout while everybody else is shouting. But how about shouting when they put the gun to your head? But see, where we're built on is like this, like I told you, and I've said it again, I'll say it again more time. Like that Columbine, or everywhere those kids were killed, you know, and one of them was saying, you know, that they prayed for the person. We call that Christianity. Those Amish or Mennonites or what it was the other day, when that girl told, they said she told them, said, kill me and let the rest of them go. We said, oh, that's Christianity. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it don't have to be. Because it's based on what we mentally believe. You go to some of these countries and look at the way the children are raised and see them, and you can do anything you want to, and they're going to believe that the rest of their life until they get a conversion. The new birth is the only thing. To give you a Catholic, say, give me a child that's five, you can have it the rest of its life, he'll still be a Catholic. I agree up to the point of the new birth. But the new birth will make a change. Because, see, the new birth is a substance. It's not a mental concept. So then the world today, outside of the born-again believer, the world is in an emotional, they're emotional Christians. I said there a moment ago, you don't have to shout and glory hallelujah to be emotional. It just means anything contrary to the Word of God. Something you believe. But what do we think about it? What do we base it on? What's the difference between mental faith? Well, Brother Dale, how do you know that you're born again? Well, I shouted, I spoke in tongues, I cried at him. The one way that I know I'm born again is because God's Word has never stopped becoming a reality to me. It has never become dull. It has never become foreign. And the Word of God, through an experience, has kept me from following all of these doctrines that have went with the message. That's what I depend upon. Not how much I've done or what I've given or what I've cried or what I've prayed. But it's what's been revealed to me. I'd rather have that as an experience than to have everything you could think of. And you'll see later on what I mean by it. Because we've got to have something, folks, to walk on. And you can't walk on mental faith. We're going out of here. We talk, oh, we're going out of here one day in a rapture. What's it going to be? Well, Brother so-and-so's going to get to Revelation. He's going to... Now, you know that's in the message. One of these days, we're going to find a secret thing like they did. You remember when they found the 24 tapes? What, a couple, two or three years ago, however long it's been, they found those 24 tapes, you know. Oh, they found 24 tapes. Oh, them's been hid. And thank God for the tapes. But see, how many people went and bought those 24 tapes and played them to try to find some secret thing. Some way to change us. The prophet has already told us where the change is coming from the inside. Let my heart walk on the Word until my feet can be brought into subjection to my heart. Right? Let me walk by revelation until the revelation can come unto me. You remember back a few months ago when I was preaching about it, that Brother Brown said that when Jesus rose from the dead, said that light came down under his feet. I gave you the quotes where he said, the light came between them feet of a pale, lifeless body. And said it rose up and stood up. And then he comes on over to the ascension and he said, that light come between his feet and legs. And he just went right on up. God put under my feet what's in my heart. Put under my feet what's in my heart, and I won't have to worry about walking. I'll be in the right realm to start with. You see, emotional people are built up on emotions. Like I gave you this morning, the prophet said, and today, why are you in the prayer line if you got all faith? Just be honest. Ask somebody to help you. Come up and say, Brother Dale, I don't have it. Pray for me. I stood in the seat when I was dying with back trouble because it had been revealed to me I was healed. But when it ain't revealed to me, I'll make a beeline to the altar. Why? Because I want somebody to help me pray. It don't mean you got faith just because you won't come up to be prayed for. You got a headache? Best thing to do, what? Take an aspirin. There ain't no faith in that. I got faith in the aspirin. Very carnal, but one day maybe my faith could be that much in God. until all headaches and things get are taken away. You see, base it upon the word instead of basing it upon emotion. Then let the emotions do it. What did the prophet say? One more. Come on, brother. He said it like this. He said, shout all you want to, but make sure you can walk straight and you come down. That's a paraphrase, but that's pretty close to what he said. Shout all you want to. Glory, hallelujah. But make sure you can walk straight when you come back down. Just walking in the word. Believing. Accepting. And saying what God said. You say what God says until God comes on the scene, if nothing else. Until he makes a reality. Pray, God, make what's in my head, down in my heart, reveal it to me. And then put it under my feet that I may walk. Emotional Christians have to have something that they've done or heard or something. I believe, see, in the message, what is it? I believe the message, so I know I got the Holy Ghost. Well, I believed it 2 years before I ever received it. I read 6 books a day and listened to 2 tapes. I was called a 2-year theologian before I received the new birth. But see, most everybody thinks you come in the message, that means you got the Holy Ghost. Well, does that make the devil with the Holy Ghost? You want to call a few names of people that walk with Brother Branham in the message of the hour, but where are they today? It must be that you can walk that way. What about it? Are we emotional Christians or are we born again Christians? Now, to make sure you don't misunderstand, see, if you're a born again Christian, you're going to be emotional. You're going to have some form of emotion unto you. Because it's the life of God come in you. You're not going to sit around and say, well, I'm born again. No. You're going to get up and tell somebody about it. You're going to tell them what happened in you. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother. 151 in the spiral book. Anybody has a need, the altar's open. We'll get ready to go have a baptism. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Amen. Do you believe it? Amen. All right. Now, the one way to do it is to believe. If I told you I'd do anything, you know I'd try, right? If I said, I'll give you $20, you'd believe it, wouldn't you? Well, how much more can we believe God? He can't lie. But see, what you're going to have to do is put it upon what he says. He said, repent, be baptized. You've done that. Right. Why don't you believe him then? He said, all right, now he would give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. Now let's believe it. But you know, I know you're emotional. All right? Because that's your background. All right. Now, but yet you've got to believe without any emotion. Then the emotions will come. You're trying to get the baby here when the baby ain't conceived. Let it be conceived in you. Let the word that you heard be conceived. Ask God to reveal it to you. And to believe it. And say, thank you, Lord, because I believe what you said. Right. And then let God take care of the rest. All right? Will you believe? And just believe it and don't look for anything, but look for Jesus Christ, the person of the Word, to speak to you some word. You don't have to be right here. It could be anywhere when you believe it. That'll be there.
And there will be emotion done with it. See, that's why I'm not against that. But don't put that verse. There'll be some kind of a reality of a knowledge come into your inner being that will say it's over. That's what we'll pray for. Father, you know our sister, Lord Jesus. You know where she's come from, where she's been all these years. You know that she's built and has been built upon an emotional situation. And we're not against that, Father. Thou knowest all things. But we don't want to follow a way that seemeth right. We want to follow thy word. And we want to come to you first and then let the emotion. We want to come to you and let the emotions then be the secondary to what we have and to believe it and to walk therein, Lord, and to be settled in our heart that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, and the word that we've heard is the word of Almighty God, delivered into our hearts by the prophet of the end time from the word of God, and then held up by the ministry of the hour to where we can speak about you and believe you. We've not tried to take our sister to some emotional belief or any kind of a form, but try to take her to the living word of the reality of Jesus Christ that would come to her and speak to her, Lord, and that would be the reality there in her, and it would look out from there and speak and say, all is well, all is done, it is all finished. We believe you, Father, and we thank you. And just give the reality to our sister, Lord. Then whatever comes in glory, hallelujah, for all things. But to let it be, Lord, to believe thy word and accept it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Just believe him, sis. You believe it. Go accept it. Anybody else? Go accept what God says. He says, repent. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? That's what we do. Our brother wants the church to forgive him of himself. Last week he asked me, called and asked me, would I tell the church to just forgive him? Well, he didn't tell me that he'd done a lot. He just said that he'd had a lot of problems. Well, we prayed then and we pray now. But he wants to rededicate his life. Amen. Do we believe that? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing thy word. He said he wanted to ask the church to forgive him. And we can forgive him, Father. We can forgive him, but can he forgive himself? Lord Jesus, just come down and speak to his heart and show him that all is well. And he come, Lord, for a rededication. And Lord, we thank you that desire would be in his heart to live for you. So now make it manifest through his life and bring him to a reality of saving grace of Calvary in a life lived by Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
So many blessings undeserved.
Do you believe?
We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today. Whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good?
You believe that?
So many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today. Whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good?
Who are we?
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am.
Our little buddy's got a problem with coughing. Is that what it is? All right. But let's just believe it, okay? Okay? Let's believe the Lord's going to take care of that coughing, all right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, We condemn this thing called coffin that's in the body. And we ask you, Father, to just fill that coffin with a reality of love for you. We commit it to you now, Lord, and believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else before we go? A little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Who are we? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen and amen. A new creation. A new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what will amount to a lot of things. Amen. We're going down now to have the baptismal service. So don't kill time waiting. We're going to get down and have a service and all and just baptize these two. And we appreciate God for dealing in their hearts. And Josh wanted to be baptized. And the other day he asked me about it. And I said, well, we was tied up this. I said, you know, if it's all right, we'll do it as quick as we can. And I said, you will go now. So that doesn't bother me. They called the other day. Brother Donnie did. And that one that was here this morning wanted to get baptized. I said, bring him on. I'm ready now. I've got my baptizing clothes on. It doesn't matter if it's a suit or what it is. It doesn't matter to me because I want to get it. I'm in the water and everything. But, you know, we just appreciate John. Come on.
Chris, you beat me to it. I was about to come in here and do about the same thing. I never really formally apologized to, number one, my family for the way that I did some things, pretty much everything. And I also wanted to apologize to my church family and thank you very much for your prayers. And thank God for his grace. Amen. So number one thing I thank him for every time I pray.
Amen. Amen. We believe that. And the church says, amen. Amen and amen. Anybody else anything to say before we go? If not. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for the hour that we're living, the time we have upon the earth. We pray now that you'd bless us as we go to have a baptismal service for these two, Lord. We pray that you would just touch their hearts and let it be a reality unto them. And Father, forgive our many sins, our many failures, and help us to walk in you. Take care of everybody on the way home, Lord. Give a safe journey to all. And may your love be made manifest in each one of our hearts and lives. Guide us now in Jesus' name.